Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 26th, and we will be reading from the Big Book. As always, we are on page 73. We will be reading the fourth paragraph, which begins, "We must be entirely honest with somebody," and we're reading just that one paragraph only. So our readers today, we have Rhonda R. reading the 12 steps, Terry H. will read our 12 traditions, and then our readers of the text are Barbara W., who will read that paragraph I just mentioned, Shelley E. will finish us off on page 164, and we have Kara L. Hanging there in the background as our backup if we need her. And then following the meeting, we have Lorraine N. for our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will be giving announcements. Okay, so our reference numbers. So the reference number for yesterday, the special edition on Sunday, July 25th, is 17,421, 17421. And then the reference number for this morning's earlier meeting, the Monday, July 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,425, 17425. Okay, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now I will ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Sandy. I'm Rhonda R. in Georgia. Gratefully recovered compulsive eater. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do service on Team Monday this month.
Thank you, Rhonda R. It's been great to have you on Team Monday. Okay, so now I will ask Terry H. To read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Sandy, and thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters except affecting others on ROA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name in any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as a whole ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to serve on the July Monday team, and with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Terry H. It's been great to have you on the July Monday team, so thank you for that. So this is how our meeting works. So our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing, and I'll say time when those 3 minutes are up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So we are going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 73. We will be reading the fourth paragraph, which begins, "We must be entirely honest with somebody." And now I'm going to ask Barbara W. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Thank you. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take the intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. Oh, boy, that last line just jumped out at me. Many people don't understand compulsive overeaters either. How many times it's just like, push yourself away from the table. Just don't eat it. You know, those kinds of things show a lot of ignorance. Unfortunately, misunderstanding of our condition. The other line is the first line, is the what it says, we must be entirely honest. I remember the words entirely abstinent. I'm not sure where they appear in the book, but definitely entirely is a common word that Bill uses to get a point across. Entirely honest means no holds barred. This is the truth. This is something that I am not going to hide from anyone. I want to live long and happily in this world. And the other part of it that jumped out of me was a person with whom to take this intimate and confidential. It has to be someone I trust with impeccable credentials. It doesn't have to be any particular client, any person. It could be your sponsor. As long as I can trust with just no doubt in my mind that this person's going to take this literally to their grave. Intimate means very personal. I might say things that I'm embarrassed about, but I need to say them. And I really think that's all I have to say. Thank you for letting me be part of the Monday team of service. And I pass.
Oh, thank you, Barbara W. It's been great to have you on the Monday team also. Thank you so much for that. Okay, so I'm going to shortly open up the line for sharing. I just want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. So who wants to comment on what was just read on page 73, the fourth paragraph? We must be entirely honest with somebody.
Janice PM.
Janice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's a great paragraph, a great opportunity to share your experience, strength, and hope. Anyone else want to get in this first lineup?
Kara L.
Kara.
Joanne P.
Deborah B.
Barbara.
Deborah G.
And Deborah. Okay, I think that's a good group. I've got Janice, Kara, Joanne, Barbara, and Deborah. I'm not sure if I got all the last initials, and if you want to give us your location when you share, in case anyone would like to be able to look you up on the contact list. So Janice PM, go right ahead. Good morning. We're not hearing you, Janice. You may need to hit star one to unmute again.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can, yes, thank you.
Okay, good enough. I went on and on. All right, my name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. I'm just going to piggyback on the great share that was just mentioned. And, you know, here's a must. We must, in other words, or else. If I was not entirely honest through about maybe fifth steps, because I rationalized with my higher power. Well, he knows why I had to do this, why I had to do those actions, and why I had to, do what I did. And, you know, I wasn't very happy in this world. I wasn't happy with myself. I was ashamed. And this is, you know, I always remember that if I did it on purpose and kept it out, and it kept it out from others, from my sponsor or whoever I gave my fifth step to, that was a lie. But if I forgot about it, then it was a mistake. And there's a difference between a mistake and on purpose. So therefore, I was not entirely honest. I thought I was honest in a lot of things, but I kept this one behavior from my sponsor and a religious person at the time. And, you know, it's true. I even did it with food sometimes. I wasn't entirely honest doing these steps. And, of course, I got the same thing that I got when I went in it, you know. And it wasn't until, that I became entirely, and I think they say, too, to be thorough. And it doesn't mean to make a long, long dissertation. Thorough means every little nook and nanny. I only thought I was honest, but I knew, which was a lie, that I was keeping something from. And until I decided, and God helped me by the grace of God, to take this intimate step without fear, to go through, to ask God to take me through this fear with another compulsive overeater who understood me. And it turned out that that person did the same thing. So from then on, I became free as a butterfly. And it was a wonderful experience. And I pocketed my pride. Oh, I thought I was so great, but I wasn't. I had a character defect, and I thought I couldn't live without it. But it came to be that I can live without it. Once I got free, that I, you know, got free of this disturbance and became true and entirely honest. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up we have Kara L., followed by Joanne P. Kara, go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, you know, I'm thinking, too, that when this book was published and put out, and some of these instructions, you know, there just weren't enough sponsors. You know, today, I'm so lucky. There's any list, a number of people that if my sponsor's not available that I do step 10s with, that I would happily pick up the phone and be entirely honest with. Because I do want to live long or happily in this world, you know. And finding someone who is recovered and someone who has been through what I've been, you know, who knows when I say things, just nods because they understand. It's a gift, and it's a gift that this fellowship has given me over the years, is any number of people worldwide that have been through what I've been through. Might not be exactly, but know what compulsive overeating is and know how I've been affected. And I can't tell you what a gift that is today, that we have a database with, you know, 9,000 names that we can call, that I have a list on my phone. All I have to do is put in step 10 and you know, ton of names come up. But I have fellows today that I would trust and I would be entirely honest with, because I don't want to carry those burdens anymore. Those burdens block me from the sunlight of the spirit. They block me from the help that I need every day to function in this world. I need guidance and help from a higher power every day. And anything that's in my way, I don't want to carry any. You know, and so finding those people in your life, growing that group that I can call any time of the day, because there's people worldwide. I'm very grateful, and I'm grateful for everybody giving service today, and I look forward to the rest of the shares. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kara L. from California. Thanks so much for sharing. So next up, we have Joanne P., followed by Barbara. Joanne, if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. I am Joanne P. I am a compulsive overeater from Greensboro, North Carolina, and thank you so much for this opportunity. It's this paragraph. It's no mistake. I'm in this meeting this morning. I have been in program since 1992 and OA since 1992. And had come to a place where I felt I wasn't being honest and that I had nothing left to learn. And but I was blessed enough to hear a speaker say, in sharing about how they finally got abstinent, was I quit saying this was what I was going to do, and instead said, tell me what to do. And from that statement came the idea that I needed to find another sponsor. And I needed to be completely honest with everything, with the sponsor and then with myself. And I needed to start asking. I needed to be new in the program. That was a suggestion I got from another OA, or forget everything you've learned and start all over again. And being completely honest for me had a lot to do with forgiving myself and seeing myself through other people's eyes. I am too hard on myself. I have come so far. I have a weight loss. I've almost lost the 100 pounds that I gained. I have changed spiritually and emotionally and physically, but I am always too hard on myself, and that can take me to a very dark place. So now my sponsor and I are working on seeing myself through my higher power's eyes and other people's eyes as well. And you know, that has really been a blessing, a huge blessing. And, you know, I haven't really lacked that in my time in program, but I don't think I could accept it. And I think because I got to a place where I needed to forget everything and start all over again, or basically die. And I don't know how long I've been in that place. I could have been in this place for, you know, 20 years. But I finally got to a point where this is what I needed to do. And I'm so grateful for this program, the Big Book, everyone in OA who I ever get to come in any type of contact with. And and I appreciate you all being here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Joanne P. from North Carolina. Thanks so much for sharing. So next up, we have Barbara, and followed by Deborah. Barbara, I didn't get your last initial, and if you want to give us your location as well. Good morning. I thought I heard a Barbara, but we're not hearing you, Barbara. If you're there, press star one again. Maybe we lost Barbara, or I didn't hear that. How about Deborah G? Are you available to go ahead and share?
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah, compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for leading the meeting and all those that have made this meeting possible and all the shares. Oh, they've been beautiful. I thank you for 12-stepping me this morning. And, you know, my sponsor had me write on the first step principle of honesty when I started doing my first step. And that was really an awakening, because I really got to understand what honesty is, and then taking that to each step that I do, and also doing that set-aside prayer before I do any step work. I would do with her, or when I did my work one-on-one by myself, I would read that set-aside prayer, or pray it. And just anything I can do just to keep me on that beam alignment of honesty and alignment with that power in step two that helps me with that honesty, because I have to also pray for honesty to have that. And there was such a freedom in being able to just say it. You know, it just takes the power out of it. And puts it into perspective. And you know, I want to have that neutrality with food. I want to have that transformation, that psychic change that's talked about. And I want a deeper, deeper relationship with that loving presence, power in step two. So doing that opens that space up for that to happen. And so I can also do that with others that I'm taking through the steps, the same thing, getting them into an awakening of honesty, and then doing that prayer. And then I do a connection with them for honesty too. So just keeping that in the forefront, doing that honesty work. And that's where I get my greatest awareness. And on disputes, any shame, any guilt, and sets me free so that I don't want to go to the food today. And also, I love doing 10 steps. I'll just call people that I get phone numbers from on the meeting and do 10 steps and just be honest. And it's so cool because we're all together in this. I don't have to be alone. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. We really appreciate your share. Let me see, try one more time. Is Barbara available for a share? I thought I heard her name. Is there a Barbara that wanted to share? Okay, I must have misheard. Okay, once again, we are on page 73. We read the fourth paragraph, which begins, "We must be entirely honest with somebody." We read one paragraph only, and we certainly value everyone's experience, but we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might get to share their experience too. So who else wants to comment on what we read today?
Mo
I got Mo, and then... I got Mo
Danielle,
and then
W.
Danielle, that's it. So I've got Mo, Danielle, and Allison.
Janice K.
Janice. Okay, let's go with that group. That's a good, another good lineup. We've got Mo, Danielle, Allison, and Janice. Mo H., go right ahead and just give us your state if you'd like. Thank you.
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Sandy. My name is Mo H., and I'm a compulsive eater in recovery today. So this line starts out, "We must be entirely honest with someone if we wish to live, if we expect to live long or happily in this world." And I am very humbled this morning because I had a break in my abstinence and am having to go through the pains of starting over, and but I can't live with myself if I am not honest. And that is one thing this program has taught me. And I know that the only person that I could go to was my sponsor or any of you. I thought to go to my family, and they would not understand. It's very humbling to admit this, and waking up this morning and hearing this first sentence, it was like a whiplash to be honest with all of you, which is very hard because I've been abstinent for 5 years. And to lose that over something really stupid, excuse my expression, was very humbling, very hard to be, it was really hard to be honest. And I am very grateful that I didn't begin compulsive eating, but I did pick up something that wasn't on my food plan. I had it a few times, and that was it. And I thank God I was able to stop. But I ask for your prayers because it's very, I don't know what the word is, scary. It's scary. This is the second time now after 5 years that I've relapsed, but the last time I went into sugar, and this time it wasn't sugar, it just was not on my food plan. And I just, you know, was lying for a few weeks to my sponsor, and I needed to become honest. So I've stepped down from everything, and I have to talk to each one of my sponsees this morning, and that will be humbling, but this is what it takes to work this program, being honest, entirely honest, which means completely, which means without without holding back anything. So if anybody would like to reach out to me today, I would appreciate it. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Mo. That was Mo H. from California. Okay, so next up we have Danielle, followed by Allison. Danielle, I didn't get your last initial, and if you also want to give us your state.
Okay, hi. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time. You know, when I did my first fifth step, I had the gift of desperation. I couldn't live the way I'd been living. But I was certain that as soon as my sponsor heard all of my secrets, that she wouldn't want to sponsor me anymore. And I remember after hours of revealing, you know, the darkest places in my life, she looked at me and said, "Is that it?" And she stood by me. She loved me. And it was such an extraordinary experience. I was able to let go of this anchor, this shame and guilt that I'd been dragging around. So the idea of being entirely honest took on a really positive experience for me. And as a result, over the years, you know, I see it as just this opportunity for relief and release to come clean. But what I've realized as I continue to work the program is I don't know what I don't know, and I can't see what I can't see. And there are times, even though I want to be completely honest, that I really can hide from myself. And that's part of, you know, peeling the onion and going deeper. That this is a courageous process for me that I have to continue throughout my recovery. You know, I feel confident in my abstinence, but I also see the vulnerability that if I don't lean into the program every day, you know, I get one day reprieve. And part of that for me is to ask for clarity, to ask my higher power to show me the truth so that I can get honest again. And there's always something new that I can learn about myself, about my recovery, about my character defects. And it's a lifelong process that we have this opportunity for a connection to our higher power and some real awareness, and honesty and authenticity. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Danielle W. from California. Thanks so much for sharing with us. So next up, we have Allison L., followed by Janice K. Allison, if you want to give us your location, and then go right ahead with your share. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Sandy. This is Allison L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I am in South Carolina. This line, this paragraph really makes me remember how desperate I was when I came into the rooms. And one of the steps that I was most scared of was step five, because it involved another person. Writing things down, no big deal for me, but to admit them to another person was really hard. And I'm really grateful that, you know, we have sponsors today, that there's always been a sponsor available to hear whatever I needed to share. I thought well before even coming to OA, and I was very, very desperate. So when it came time for my step five with my sponsor, I thought, you know, I have no idea who I'm going to share this with. And this paragraph made me think that it was, you know, on my shoulders. I was going to have to figure it out and find someone to share it with. And when my sponsor said, okay, now we'll start your fifth step and you'll, you know, we'll set a time, I was like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness I can share it with her. Because I found that the sponsors I've had in OA are people that I trust with my deepest, darkest secrets more than any person outside of the rooms. And it is because I was so desperate when I came in and nothing outside of the rooms worked. And what's inside of the rooms has worked for me. to live long and happily so far the past few years in recovery. And that's why I keep being entirely honest along the way, because I want to continue to live this way. And being entirely honest can still be challenging sometimes. I tend to answer my questions daily and just write a good student answer, and my sponsor has to continually invite me to write about what's actually going on in my life, because that's just, it's not the thing that comes to my mind. It's not my tendency. So it's spiritual work for me to share what's really going on in my life and in my inside of me, and to be entirely honest on a regular basis. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Allison L. from South Carolina. Thanks so much for sharing. So next up, we'll have Janice K., and then I'll be able to take some more names. Janice, good morning. Just give us your location if you'd like.
Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. This part, this jumped out at me. I've really had to do some thinking about what I wanted to say in response to this paragraph, because it is such an important one. And I decided, okay, fine, I will stay with my own experience. So my first inventory happened back in 1980 something. And I went to my sponsor, and I went in, and I started reading. And she said, no, 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 you did it wrong. She said, you need to go home and read. So I did. And I went home, and I rewrote my life story, which is what I had to present. And I went back, and I started reading. And she said, no, 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 you did it wrong. I want to know about how you hurt people. So I went home and I wrote what I thought she expected to hear. It wasn't necessarily true. It really wasn't. But it was what she wanted to hear. And when I finished reading it, her response was, oh, don't you feel so much better now? No, I don't. And I dropped the step work. She came to me a couple of months later and said, well, do you want to get back to work on them? And I said, no. And I don't think she understood. So I need to do this the way one of our members suggests. I needed to go through and list what I have termed the botherations. If it bothers me, it goes down on resentment. I add two letters to resentment, so it becomes resentment, felt again. And everything goes down as resentment. I was willing to tell her about my childhood sexual abuse. She wasn't interested in hearing it. I wanted to share with her, about my struggle with being a victim. She didn't want to hear it. So I think that there is a valid reason to tell your life story to someone. We listen to the story and we go back through it, and we help our sponsee find where fear, dishonesty, resentment, anger, and selfishness have played a part. But
time,
for peace sake, do not tell someone you did it wrong. Go write it again. Okay, thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Thank you so much for sharing with us. So we should have time for three or more shares on page 73, the fourth paragraph. We must be entirely honest with somebody. Who else would like to comment on that paragraph?
Kim A.
Kim?
No.
I think I heard another Mariam name after. Miriam Rifka? Okay. I've got Kim and Miriam Rifka. Was there someone else that came in there?
No. This is Jerry.
Jerry? Okay.
And was there someone besides Kim, Marianne, Rivka, and Jerry? Okay, let's go with that group and we'll see what kind of time we have left. So Kim A, go right ahead and give us your location if you'd like. Sorry, Kim, if that was you trying to come through, it was very garbly.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, now we can. Perfect.
Sorry about that. Hi, it's Kim A., New York City. I've done a lot of step fours in OA, and they weren't really that helpful. And it wasn't until I found a sponsor who used the big book as the instructions for step four that and guided me in step five to really understand how the things I had written down, because it's not writing your life story. It's done a specific way for a reason. It's focusing on our resentment. It's focusing on our sex harms, and it's focusing on our fears, because those all play into these instincts that we have for security and for, you know, social, you know, people around us, and it's, you know, kind of God-given instincts to originally to, like, keep, you know, society going and keep procreating. But over time, you know, what happens is our selfishness and our defects come into play, and these instincts, like, go awry. And so when I followed the directions with these sheets that she had given me that helped me focus more on, like, okay, these are my resentments, my fears, my sex harms, this is my part in it. And I didn't complete the column where I had to check off which defects it was. Her directions were that we do it together. And when she guided me through that, I understood why. Because she helped me see this truth that I couldn't see. The whole point of step five is your sponsor shows you things from a different angle. So yeah, I have all these resentments. But it's not because the world sucks, and it's not because people did all these things to me. Yes, sometimes people do things to us, but the idea of resentment is that it's our selfish need to stay in self-pity and our selfish need to, you know, feel victimized by the world, and it allows us to stay in anger, and these are the things that lead us to food. You know, for me, my binging had nothing to do with sugar. It had nothing to do with being on the wrong food plan. It had nothing to do with, you know, triggers. It wasn't about any of that. It was about these causes and conditions that we learn in the big book, you know, the resentment and the selfishness and all that. This is what led me to food, because I was in just such a state of, like, anger and self-pity and fear all the time, because I was always trying to get my way and control everything. And, of course, it didn't work well. So once my sponsor was able to show me, not through my life story, but through following the directions specifically, how there's another way to look at things, I was able to ask God to help me, you know, adjust my attitudes and my outlook by, you know, having these defects removed very, very slowly.
Time?
You know, okay, I'll wrap up. Thanks. So for me, the psychic change happened very gradually, very slowly, but it only happened because I followed my sponsor's directions as per the big book. Kim A., New York City. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Thanks so much for your share. So now we'll have Miriam Rivka H., followed by Jerry. Miriam Rivka, go right ahead. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. This is Miriam Rivka H., compulsive eater in New Jersey. You know, I hear a lot of talk from this paragraph about honesty, and I wanted to share something that I just experienced this morning. I have been coming to these rooms for about 8 years now, and I have had so many sponsors and wonderful sponsors who have the most fantastic recovery, and I've been taken through the steps so many times, and I don't understand why I keep on picking up food. And I keep on picking up food. And I just, you know, I spoke with someone this morning, and she said to me, well, have you asked God to remove your addiction? And I was like, I don't really know. And she's like, you would know if you did. And she told me about her experience. And she, like, one day she just had been struggling for years and years and years, and she just gave up, and she was sitting at her desk, and she said, listen, God, like, I'm not asking you to help me be abstinent or to stop binging or whatever. I just want you to remove this addiction. And she was so encouraging listening to her. Like, she said, literally from that day on, like, she has not had that urge. Like, it was just lifted from her. And I hung up the phone, and I realized I'm a very good student. I'm very compliant. I am a people pleaser, and every single sponsor, like, I very nicely, like, do my lessons, and I write, like someone else mentioned, what my sponsor wants to hear. And part of me, you know, might really mean it in a way, but it's not coming from an open, honest place in my heart. And I guess what this woman that I spoke to was describing, it sounded almost like a step three, but just like a step three in her own words. And all the time, another thing that's been going on is that I, you know, people will say, well, do you believe that God could remove your addiction? And I say, yeah, he could, but like, I don't think he will, because it's been 8 years and he never has. Like, why is anything going to change today? Why is today any different? And when I hung up the phone with this woman, I sat here at my own desk where I'm working, and I just said, I'm like, God, like, I'm struggling with this for so long and I don't want it anymore. Can you take this from me? And I had this sudden realization, like, of course God will, because he wants me to have this connection to him. He doesn't want me to be living my life like this, like cut off from him, from everyone in my life, just struggling in the food. And I'm like, just like, I really felt like it's from my heart, like, take this away from me. And I don't, I want to do things your way, but I need your help. I can't fight this anymore. If I'm going to be fighting it, I'm definitely going to lose. I see that from the past 10 years, and I see my time's almost up. So I just, you know, I'm grateful for this experience. I so badly wanted to share it with someone else, so I'm grateful that you're all here, and I'm happy to listen to everyone else share. It's like, yeah, I need to hear this message, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Miriam Rivka H. from New Jersey. Thank you so much for sharing. So we've got exactly 3 minutes left. Jerry, it's your turn, and I just need your last initial and your location if you'd like to give it to us.
Sure. My name is Jerry P., and I am from Arizona, and I am really, really grateful to be here. This is my first meeting with you guys. I am not new to the rooms. I've been around since 1980, in and out of the rooms, and I worked for many years and had many sponsors and did many fourth, fifth steps and all of them. I left, gosh, it's been about 20 years. And I would say about 6, 7 months ago, I got back into wanting to work this because I felt that need and that lack in my life. And I knew I needed to come back to program, but my ego and pride kept me from coming back for years. And I couldn't get honest with other people about what I was doing, so I just went into isolation and hid from the world, literally. But just recently, as of yesterday, I had called a very dear friend of mine who attends these particular meetings, and she kept telling me about this, and I was hearing it, but it wasn't sinking in. And last night, I'd made that phone call, and I was like, I need to tell you the truth, you know. And for me, that took a lot of courage because I had to get rid of the ego. I had to get rid of the pride. And I talked about the control and all the stuff I'd been doing. And the disease was just completely taking over. And it was bad. So anyway, I'm just really grateful to be here. It was having being humble enough to be able to tell the truth and to let go of the control, to make that phone call, to talk about what was going on, and to hear someone who's got some recovery to say, you need to get in there and listen to what these people have to say. Just listen. And after hearing everything I heard to say, I'm sitting here weeping because I'm like, this is exactly where I need to be. So I am truly grateful, and I just wanted to say thank all of you guys for sharing, because I feel like I'm home. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Jerry P. from Arizona. We welcome you, and we appreciate your share. Okay, you will be our last share today. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, will Shelley E. Please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning, all. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.